What's up? Welcome to another episode of Ringside Geeks. And yes, finally, I'm back in front of a microphone and not talking into my phone via Bluetooth. So it sounds a lot better. My voice, at least. Everything else sounded just fine last week. But yes, we are here with another episode of Ringside Geeks to talk to you about all things in the wrestling world. If anything really happened this week, it seems like it's a slow build to the summer events of August. It seems fairly quiet, but we have things to talk about and stuff to discuss, so we'll dig right into it. And to help me do that, as always, is Tom.
Hey, guys. I, too, have no need for an advocate.
Right. I also have a wide array of magazines I like to read.
I don't get it.
Memes from Monday Night Raw. Brock Lesnar. Also, you heard one voice, but we always save her for last. The king of strong style keyboarding, it's John.
Hey, yo.
And he's the bad guy.
Throws toothpick.
And of course, our first lady of wrestling, it's Monroe. And is she gonna announce that she's entering the Mae Young tournament now?
please do.
No thanks.
Oh, she's out. All right.
I'm
not ordering that damn thing now.
What do you mean ordering?
Ordering.
This ain't the what year do you think it is?
I'm sorry. I was on the WCW hotline. My bad.
Yeah, well, that's a problem.
Wow.
The hotlines. Good Lord.
Oh man, take me back.
Funny. All right. Well, I guess let's just jump right into the news. Monday night. Yeah, there's a lot of good Brock Lesnar reading a magazine memes out there. it's pretty funny. I didn't even watch Raw, and I know about it. It was all over my Twitter feed. That's probably why. Okay. So, in this culture of filtering through tweets and Facebook posts of decades past, it seems that Ty Dillinger and Cedric Alexander are not immune to this treatment from fans going deep into their Twitter archives to find offensive material.
You mean they're human?
Yep. People make mistakes and are immature. I can list, I don't have enough fingers to list how many rape jokes I've heard by stand-up comedians. Nobody seems to take them to task because I think we know they're joking and they're trying to make light of a horrible situation.
Right.
Whether it's in bad taste or not, that's up to debate, but it doesn't cost them their career usually. Well, Daniel Tosh, Dane Cook had some issues at one point, but... I believe one of them made a 9/11 joke, and we're not there yet.
Nope.
So, yes, Ty Dillinger apologized for it. Cedric Alexander also apologized for it. It was 6 years ago. Granted, doesn't seem like that long ago, but people change a lot in 6 years. People change a lot in 1 year. Cedric Alexander has since gone on and got married and has kids, and he knows that behavior is awful and in bad taste, and he's not the person he is today. You don't like to use the word locker room talk, but that's a culture that exists. Whether it's good or bad, it does exist. You get, you know, kind of, I don't know what the word is, jocular minds together, and jokes tend to go in a way that they shouldn't. Now, I don't think either of these men were saying rape is okay, ever. But they were making jokes about certain things. I think Dillinger's, I don't want to repeat it. They're jokes. They weren't. It's a tough subject to talk about, but we by no means condone these kinds of jokes. But at the same time, I can forgive them. 6 years ago, or whatever it was, 2011. so, well, yeah, 2011 was Ty's, and then 2012 was Cedric Alexander. So I don't know. Do you think WWE will come down on these guys? It's already been a couple days here and we haven't heard anything, so maybe it was what do they call it, wrestling court, maybe they handled it there.
Wrestling court.
I maybe think this one was kept in house. I mean, you're seeing a lot of this stuff with Major League Baseball where we're sending people through sensitivity training for stuff from how long ago, and I mean, it is what it is. You said 6 years ago. I mean, come on. Are these the same guys who made these same tweets? Maybe it was handled behind the scenes. I read Cedric Alexander's response, and I thought it was spot on. So,
well, they're tweets, so it's tweets. They're public.
Right, right. And I don't know who's sitting in a room just going back and reviewing everybody's Twitter feeds.
I could get real political and tell you if you want me to.
No, I mean, it just it's gotten a little bit crazy, because I saw from Major League Baseball, Sonny Gray got hit with one just yesterday in the middle of a game. And it was a joke between him and a friend, but people are taking it out of context.
Well,
but
I mean, you kind of started with the Milwaukee Brewer from the All-Star game.
Yeah, Hader was hit with it during the All-Star game weekend. And it's just craziness. As he stood there beside his African-American teammates who were like, oh, no, this guy's good. I mean, he's a great brat. No, what are you talking about? But, okay, social media.
He was a teenager. Jury. He was in high school, I think.
Yeah, judge, jury, executioner of the social media.
I'm not, again, I am a homer, but I'm not defending it. I was offended when I saw what he said. And I'm...
There has to be a... I guess, you know, is that the guy I am now, or is
right.
that the guy I was?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a forgiveness factor there when it's, exactly. you know, when they're children, essentially.
Sure.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I don't know. You guys pretty much said it. I mean, I really think it's up to how you...
Want to interpret it?
Each individual person... I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I think it's up to how each... individual person really deals with stuff like that, because you really can go either way. You can be offended and say this guy should be, you know, held accountable and persecuted or whatever, or you can be one of those type of people who think, oh, well, people change. I'm pretty sure they've grown from who they used to be and they're different now, and they wouldn't say anything like that. But, you know, there is that side where people don't believe that people actually change. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird. It's a weird situation. It really depends on, you know, how you view it or how you feel about everything. Me personally, I do believe people can change. I've seen people change, mm-hmm. you know, and we grow. That's how we are as humans. And I just think when it comes to jokes like that, just chill. Like, just don't do it. Think of something else.
Right. Yeah. Or you know, maybe not do it in a place where it's permanently forever in the record.
I mean, really. I mean, especially what Cedric said. It was like, Cedric, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What you're saying is really terrible. I'm sure you're not stupid.
And Ty Dillinger, I believe if I read it right, it was sent to two TNA women.
Oh, well. Okay.
Like, if I read that right. Or it might have been sent currently to two TNA women. Like, I don't know why they're sending up to TNA stars, but
that's weird.
But it was at one point. I don't know if this was where it came from. Anyway, it's good to know your opinion, because it's kind of falls in at least two of categories of who you are as a woman and a minority.
Oh, I swear.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote. What?
I don't know.
Allegedly, right?
But I don't, you know, what's a minority anymore these days, you know? Like, who is really a minority anymore?
Yeah, as a young black man myself.
Oh, shut up. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's...
I'm offended.
There's something to be...
Go away, because I'm not young?
Yeah. Here's something to be offended about. Big Cass is now working his first post-WWE appearance. On September 21st, I believe that's when he's out of his contract. On that card, or on that poster, I should say, is Emma, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, James Ellsworth.
Whoa.
James Ellsworth? Yeah, that's a big name. Tommy Dreamer. The Faces of Fear, which I can't quite make out who they are, but one of them is a Samoan gentleman from the past.
Okay.
There's so many of them.
John?
What?
Faces of Fear.
The Faces of Fear, Haku,
that's it. Yep, and I can't recognize this other gentleman.
It was, wasn't it Haku and the Barbarian? Were the
yes,
original?
I believe it
yep,
was the Barbarian.
That might be him. It's hard
good
to tell.
Good old WCW days.
They're black and white photos. Mick Foley will be there. This is in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So Tom, it's in your neck of the woods.
Woo! When is this?
September 21st at the Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium Gymnasium.
Let me book my ticket.
Hey, Emma is enough right there.
I know, right?
but no, he won't be billed as Big Cass, although he's FKA Big Cass on this poster, formerly known as. He is now known as, any guesses?
Cassius?
Nope.
Cassidy.
Oh, that's close. That, I mean, that's a good guess. It's not close.
Cassandra? Is that close?
He kept the name Big, and it's four letters after that. It's Big Kaz. Two Z's, no S's.
Wow.
Look at the creative mind on this.
Creative.
This guy. It's close enough, right? They'll remember me.
He's back, and he's about to drop a rap album. I love it.
Oh, good Lord. Speaking of, we were just kind of talking about, I just got back from San Diego, and now I'm about to get ready for another comic book convention for Atomic Geekdom. Got to get that cheap plug in there. And it's Wizard World Chicago, and they're going to have a bunch of wrestling folks there. They just announced today. These are the names, and hopefully I can bring you guys some content from a few of these. Big Kaz's former partner, Enzo Amore, will be there all weekend. Christian.
Enzo with two Z's?
They spelled his name correctly. This is a professional outlet, not like this auditorium poster.
Ah.
Okay. Not that they're not professional. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, you're right. I apologize. I ask for forgiveness of my offensive statements. They were in poor taste. I'm a different man already from 3 minutes ago.
Dave, I will forgive you.
Tom, I need you to do this man's theme song. Christian is going to be there.
The only one I've got is, I think you know me.
Nope, that's Edge. That ended up being Edge's. Can anybody do it before I do it? I don't really want to do it. Anybody?
I don't... All right. John?
John might know it.
Which one do you want? Chris John!
That's the one I'm looking for.
You're on your own.
That's the one I was looking for. I like the one he retired with. The story of the year did his final entrance music.
I'll fall on that grenade for you guys.
That was awesome.
Good job, John.
I was about to do it. I would have done it if you didn't do it, but thank you for not making me do it.
Welcome to an episode of Ringside Geese Got Talent.
In quotes. That one is got quotes.
I do have a question, though. Is Big Kaz going to name his finishing move the Kaz Mission?
Yeah, I thought immediately of Taz. I immediately thought of Taz. Because in ECW, he was T-A-Z, right? And then WWE, he was T-A-Z-Z.
It was two Z's in WWE, right?
Yeah, that is true.
And it was just the Dudleys in ECW, and they became the Dudley Boys.
Dudley.
Okay, so Christian, a tag team legend, another tag team legend, Billy Gunn will be there. Anybody want to sing that theme music?
No, thank you.
I'm just an ass man.
Oh.
I heard the lyrics to that the other day on, I don't remember which podcast I'm obsessed with now, but I heard the lyrics to that, and they are quite, well, not just sexual, but not also just straight either. And this was before he did his gay angle with Chuck. Also another tag team legend, Animal. Anybody? No, I was hoping Tom.
How far back you want
to
go?
I thought Tom might be able to do an impression or something.
I am Iron Man.
I was hoping for an impression. Those guys are pretty iconic.
Oh, well, no. See, Hawk would always say it, and then
you're right. You're right.
Hawk said.
Yeah. Yep, you're right.
That was best.
Well, Billy Gunn's got two words for you. I could have done that. That's all he ever said. And he always messed it up, apparently, according to the
two
King.
Two words for you. Rockabilly.
Oh. That one stings. Hey, but at least he had Sonny as a manager for a while.
A little bit.
Not as Rockabilly, but anyway. I don't know what you'd call TNA legend, maybe? I don't know. She's not there anymore. She's not, I don't think, currently working, but her boyfriend, fiance, husband is. Velvet Sky will be there. Mm-hmm. Did she marry Bubba Dudley yet? Or are they engaged?
I believe they're still engaged.
Okay. Lucky man. She's a gorgeous woman.
Let the pigeons loose.
I never understood that, but yes, do that. I didn't understand the saying, but I know what it means, and
what
I would...
Does it mean?
It's her butt, right?
Yeah, well, when she kind of straddled the middle rope and shook it, yeah.
Her and, that was what
I'm gonna need a minute just thinking about it. Come on.
Who was her tag team partner? She was the
Angelina Love.
Yeah, the beautiful people, right?
Hated that group.
That is one Davey Richards' wife.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well.
theme song. Hated everything about that group.
I was never a fan of them wrestling. I think Velvet was a good manager though.
Yes.
But I never got it. That was you know the diva style stuff.
Oh yeah.
Also a hardcore icon, you might remember him from being hardcore and kissing two chicks at the same time in the ring. It's Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
I got to burst. This is taking way too long. Tommy Dreamer and the Hurricane. He'll be there as well. I'm just saying this because I'm hoping to get maybe an interview or two. Or at least I'll get some photos maybe on a panel or something. I definitely have to meet Christian. He's one of my favorite all-time favorites.
Well, go for Tommy. From what I've read, Tommy is very receptive to talking to
people. Well, where Christian goes, Tommy goes. Those guys are really good friends, and so is Shane Helms with those two. Yeah. So I figure they'll be tables near each other. So I hopefully, at least I'll be able to say hi. I don't know if I'm able to get a picture of them, at least not for free. I may have quote-unquote hookups, but I ain't got those kind of hookups. I had to pay for that Becky Lynch photo. And we'll get into some Becky Lynch conversation a little bit later because there's lots to discuss there.
If you're in line for Hacksaw, I'll PayPal you the $3.
Hacksaw is at your thing in South Carolina. Yeah, he's not at Wizard World.
That's right, it's at mine. I can keep my $3. Good job.
Yes, you can. $3.
What's with the Hacksaw hate?
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Come on. He's like 84 years old.
Also because they had a crossover with the wrestling world with the recently departed Vader. The Boy Meets World main cast is going to be there, so I'm going to hopefully meet those guys. I got to at least meet Eric Matthews. Will Friedle was my hero. Was he a crush? He had to be a crush, right? Oh,
man, I loved him so much.
I loved in that show how those guys would actually make fun of the not fans, but like the wooing of the girls with their hair. Like they'd always make jokes about their own hair being, you know, sultry and awesome. Will Friedle, you also might remember, also did. They had a crossover with the Chris Hardwick, what is her name? Singled out. Help me out here.
Oh,
Jenny
yeah.
McCarthy. Jenny McCarthy.
What was her name? Something.
Jenny.
Whatever.
Jenny McCarthy. I got it. And then Carmen Electra later.
That's it. Yeah.
But they did a little crossover. All right. I don't know why I'm.
So
talking
if you're gonna do a video, I want you to do the Feeny cry when you're.
Oh,
there.
You can be damn sure I'll be Feeny.
Yeah.
Feeny.
Feeny.
Oh man, I gotta rewatch that show now. And other stuff. The reason I bring this up is because if you go to wizardworld.com, buy your tickets. And use the code ATOMIC20, you can get a discount on some of these shows. And I will tweet that out on our Twitter account, Ringside Geeks, the code and everything when it's active. It's not active just yet, but it will be. And you'll be able to get discounts on some of the upcoming shows. Some of those cities are, we got Winston-Salem, that's this weekend. So it's probably a little late for that. In fact, it is. It started when this podcast releases. It's already started. Chicago at the end of the month, the 23rd through the 26th. 4 days, cool. I think the 23rd is like a half day. It's a Thursday, so it starts at 4. Tulsa in September. Austin is in September. Sacramento in October. Springfield in October. Montgomery in November. And then Madison, my neck of the woods again, in November. At November and December at the end of the month there. Is it Montgomery in Alabama?
It is. The capital.
It is.
It's in your neck of the woods down there. I'm not going to get too detailed so we don't get too many stalkers coming to your house, but... Got to be careful what you say. All right, back to the news of the day. Let me close this stupid window. Okay. The Mae Young tournament has added a lot more names. So let me run through this list here. Anybody can stop me when I say a name you want to discuss. Good. Cool. All right, here we go. Toni Storm. Got to start there, baby. Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm so happy she's a part of NXT UK, even though I can't see any of it. But they are recording TV stuff over there. So I assume at some point we'll get a network special or something like that. I can't remember what they said they were doing. But you guys got to help me. I'm going to butcher some of these names. It's Miko Satomura.
It's Mako.
Mako, I'm sorry. Like the shark.
Sure.
Mako
it's
shark.
Okay, it's not easy to get it first.
No.
This one I'll get.
Legend. It's an interesting name.
She is a legend, yes. I was stoked when I heard her. You guys talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
She's great.
She's one to watch. You guys are going to be very impressed.
Yes. Yes. And then, of course, we'll have some preview matches, right?
That's right.
She did Monroe did an amazing write-up last time for this episode, the preview show for the Mae Young tournament, and she included some YouTube videos, so we'll do that hopefully again with some of these newer names, probably not the ones that are two-time entrants, but we can't make her work that hard. She's got a life, people. Okay, so Mako, Mercedes Martinez coming back, right? She was there last year.
Yes, another badass.
Yes, and one of my favorites coming up here, coming back, Maya Yim. Love this woman.
Yes.
She is so awesome. I love her Instagram, just seeing her beating up on dudes. It's awesome.
She's great.
What's her stable? She's got a couple girls that she wrestles with, right?
I don't think so.
Oh.
It's just a thing.
I'm just making stuff up. All right.
You're talking about too. Yeah, I think it's just one time thing.
Gotcha. I like making stuff up. Fake news over here. Killer Kelly. I don't know who that is.
She's from WXW.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's Walter's promotion over in Germany. She's okay. She's not great. She's like an MMA gimmick style fighter, but she's more of like a gimmick, so it's not like she's actually trained.
Sure.
In MMA.
Sure. Like Sarah Logan. I think Sarah Logan in the WWE. I don't think she's actual MMA. She's just trained that way.
That's an apt comparison, yes.
Okay.
Not Sarah Logan, the other girl. Sonya Deville.
I'm sorry, yes.
I knew there was one. I couldn't think of the name.
Yes, Sarah Logan is one half, the better half of one of the War Raiders. All right. Killer Kelly, Madison Rain, who I think just talked about last week on Slammiversary, right?
Yes.
Wasn't she there? Yeah. And then I think she's done with Impact. One of my favorite managers, I liked her instantly when we went to the Evolve show, me and John. I didn't see much of her wrestling, but Priscilla Kelly is going to be there from Evolve and WWN. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's not too thrilling in the ring, but
I figured this is kind of gonna.
She's nice to look at.
Yes, and she's got a cool gimmick. She does this.
Yeah, she does. She's got an interesting gimmick. It's along the Rosemary lines, but it's more, you know, more normal, I guess.
More,
not so much zombie.
Like a Hot Topic goth chick.
Pretty much.
She recruited one of my favorite indie guys, Austin Theory, right now. So she's kind of his main valet.
What?
Hot. Yes. He has abs for days. Okay, I think I got this one right. Zaya Brookside? Zia?
I think it's Zaya, yeah. Zaya? She that's Ronnie's Brookside, the trainer in NXT, that's daughter. Yeah, she's not very good.
Oh, alrighty. She new still? Kind of breaking in?
In the ring, it looks like she is, but she's been wrestling for a while now because she was in Stardom, and she has a title with some company.
Hmm.
So
this is, as we're going through this, a lot of these are the first time I'm hearing these names, and of course we have our experts that know a little more, but we'll fill you in more when we get the preview episode, so we're just, you know, letting you know the names. This is for the listeners, obviously. Kavita Devi?
She was there last year.
Yep.
She's signed to NXT.
Okay. Tegan Knox is also signed. But she was going by a different name, I believe. I could be wrong. I might be thinking of the wrong person. I suck. Recent NXT signee, Deonna Purrazzo.
Yep.
Jessica Elaban.
Who?
Yep. Reyna Gonzalez.
She was in it last year as well. Sign.
Okay. Returning WWE diva, now badass women's wrestler, Caitlyn, a.k.a. Celeste.
Yet to be seen.
Yes, yes. She looks like she's in phenomenal shape, though.
Oh, yeah. She looks amazing.
Yeah. Of course, Io Shirai.
No words needed.
Right, right. We've talked a lot about her. Should be fun, though, because at least outside of NXT in the Mae Young tournament, they get to do a little more. I mean, we were a little disappointed with what happened last year, but hopefully this year they kind of let them unleash and do their own thing like we saw with the CWC and the two UK tournaments.
They have to with Io. She's basically the female Kota Ibushi.
Ooh.
So, imagine a watered-down Kota Ibushi. That's no fun.
Right.
So they have to let her do her thing.
Right, and they let Kota in the CWC, so.
Yeah, they let them in, but we'll see.
So Io, Jinny, J-I-N-N-Y.
Yep, from Progress.
Progress, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Casey Catanzaro.
I know her.
I think she's somewhere. A recent NXT signee.
I think so. Isn't that the Ninja Warrior girl?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yep. Yeah. So, well, I hope she does well. I mean, that's a cool way to come in. That's a first.
Yeah, that's a first. Sure.
It's an athlete. You know, they like their athletes. Nicole Matthews.
Yeah. I think she was in what, Shimmer or something like that? Shine? One of them.
Okay. Returning to the tournament for a second time, also in NXT, doing a lot of work at NXT tours right now. Rhea Ripley, who I like a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a soccer girl, right?
Yeah, she's from Australia, I believe, or New Zealand. Yeah.
She plays soccer for a long time or something.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Karen Q.
Oh, from really?
Yeah.
From Ring of Honor?
I'm not sure where she's from, but that's the name I'm looking at.
Wow, I didn't know that she was announced for that. Holy crap. Okay, I mean, she's okay. I just didn't know she was announced.
Oh, that's fine. Let's see, Karen Q. Zeusix. So Zeus IX is the name.
No, that's not how you pronounce that. That's Spanish. Do you remember Princesa Suhe from last year?
Yeah, yeah.
She's been in like a years long rivalry with this lady, and they've been wrestling each other off and on for like, I don't know how, it's like Rock and Stone Cold levels.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty interesting that she's in this year, but Princesa Suhe was in last year. I'm excited about that pick, though. I didn't know that she was chosen. That's cool. That's really cool.
Where did my list go? There we go. Ilsa Dawn. Ilsa Dawn. It's one of the Jurassic Park, lesser known Jurassic Park islands.
One of the outlying, you know.
Right. I had to make that joke.
I've definitely heard of her before, but I can't think of where I've heard her.
We'll know more, folks, when we get to our preview episode. This is just us running down the list.
Yes.
Hiroyo Matsumoto.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. She is trained under Michael Satomura. She wrestles for Sendai Girls, which is Michael Satomura's promotion. And she is very good. That's one to watch.
All right, cool.
I co-sign this, yes.
Oh, there we go. Lacey Lane. Oh, I skipped that one. I skipped that to go to Hiroyo. But yes, Lacey Lane.
I've only seen her wrestle once, and I don't know what she's like. One of those freelance wrestlers that wrestles all over the place. She looks interesting.
Okay.
The white dreads and the tattoos and the piercings and stuff. She looks interesting.
But these were the latest announced. Hiroyo was one of them. Ariel Monroe.
That is actually Cedric Alexander's wife.
Yep. Yeah.
She's okay. She's not bad.
She goes by the nickname Big Swole.
Yeah, Big Swole.
And her specialty move is called Dirty Dancing, a ripcord forearm smash. That sounds cool.
Yeah, she's actually a hard hitter.
Okay.
I'm interested in seeing that.
Mm-hmm. And then Vanessa Craven, she's also known as The Mountain. She's a Canadian. She actually trained the same place that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn did.
Oh, okay.
But she's
cool.
Worked for Shimmer and Shine.
Awesome.
She does a cliffhanger choke bomb, which is a two-handed sit-out choke slam.
There Interesting.
There was a little bit of info.
Are those all the signees? All the participants?
I've got so far, and that's as of, let me see, I just closed it. That is as of the 1st, so yesterday.
Do we have an idea of how many that was? Because it was 32 last year?
2, 4, 6, 8. 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26. So we potentially have four more names.
Yeah. Look out.
Yeah, right. all right, moving on. Matt Riddle. We kind of talked about this, but apparently he has reportedly agreed to a WWE deal at this point. And they're expecting us to see him at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 in the crowd, as they like to do. He does have some more Evolve bookings to finish up, and WWE likes to let their guys, or encourages them to finish their bookings. So he'll be doing that, and that's all before SummerSlam. So we could have Keith Lee and Matt Riddle in the WWE before the end of August. I we'll see. We have Keith Lee. That's a done deal.
I think he debuts next week on NXT TV.
I saw that tweet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some sad news. This was brutal. This was a bad week.
Mm-hmm.
We lost two people I know of. I think there's a third, and I forgot to pull up that headline. But early in the week, we lost Hall of Famer Nikolai Volkov. He passed away at the age of 70. Tom, give us a brief history of Nikolai Volkov.
Nikolai Volkov broke in, of course, as the Soviet guy. He was teamed with the Iron Sheik for the longest time, managed by one classy Freddie Blassie. My favorite was when Nikolai would ask you to rise for the singing of the Russian national anthem, which he would butcher every time. But God love him for it. It was so awesome for him.
Yeah, one of the iconic heel characters, for yes. Sure.
Yeah.
One of the original, you know, anti-American characters in the WWF at that time.
Right.
I mean, it's been a staple of wrestling forever, but, you know, as far as WWF goes, one of their first. Also, former WWF alumni, Attitude Era standout, Brian Christopher, who is also known as Brian Lawler or Grandmaster Sexay. He is Jerry Lawler's son. This story just gets worse and worse every day. He got arrested, and they put him in solitary confinement, and he hung himself. But X-Pac has come out today and said there was no reason for him to be in solitary confinement. He's never had he was arrested for DUI. So he wasn't, like, being real aggressive or something, according to, you know, reports, I guess. But he's been battling addiction for a very long time and law, you know, issues with the law. He is one half of the Too Cool, or I guess a third. Eventually Rikishi joined that group. They were over. They were a lot of fun back in the day of characters within the WWF. Very sad. Just a real bummer. I don't know how else to say it. I knew Nikolai Volkov, but I was not a fan of Too Cool because I didn't like that gimmick, but at the same time I enjoyed watching them because it was entertainment.
Sure.
He was clearly talented. He's a bloodline. Lawler's had a rough year too. Jerry, the King Lawler, has had a tough year. And it's that old saying, you never want to see your children die before you.
Absolutely.
So that's tough. So, our thoughts and condolences to all the families that are involved. Did I miss? Somebody else died too.
Yeah, Brickhouse Brown died.
That's
Brickhouse
right.
Brown was a legendary guy. I mean, from kind of way back, not a lot of people would remember him. He had a brief little run in WWE. I mean, what I think the memorable one was the run where it led to the WrestleMania match with Roddy Piper. Mm-hmm. Would you agree, Monroe?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of him here from WCCW, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, even all the way back, I remember from World Class, but a lot of people wouldn't remember going in until his little run in WWE.
Yeah, that was my aunt's favorite, one of her favorite wrestlers.
I read an interesting story because when I heard he died, I was like, man, I thought I read that he died last week. The story was he actually was legally dead, but then he sat up after maybe an hour of being dead. He sat up in the bed and it was like, hey, Mom, I'm hungry.
Wow.
It was like he lasted another week, and then that was when he finally passed away. It's a crazy story.
That's, yeah, Undertaker style.
Yeah.
Sat up in bed. Okay. Yes. Man, it's been a tough year, too. All right, let's move on. All In has announced a 6-man tag team match, which about rules where we stand on one person coming back to WWE with this announcement, because I don't think he'll be back before All In, as they've previously reported. But All In will feature a 6-man tag team match between Kota Ibushi and the Young Bucks, and Rey Fénix, Bandido, and Rey Mysterio Jr. So the updated card for the G1 stands as this right now: Hangman Page versus Joey Janela, Kazuchika.
All In, not the G1.
I'm sorry. Did I say G1? Really? I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
I don't know where I even got that. It's not anywhere on my page here.
Had G1 on the brain.
Yeah, right. So, yes, announced for All In. Excuse me. Hangman Page versus Joey Janela. Kazuchika Okada versus Marty Scurll. That's a barn burner. Sorry, Okada. An NWA title match will be the main event, I'm assuming. As of now, Nick Aldis, the current NWA champion, versus Cody Rhodes.
I mean, Lord, if that's your main event, help y'all if you're going to that All-In show. Well, however, I will say that the six-man tag that they just booked is a great match. And if y'all don't know who Flamita and Bandido are, you will after this show because they're amazing. And if you don't know who Rey Fénix is, you will after this show. Those guys are, I mean, they're the guys I've been watching a whole hell of a lot lately. You'll hear me talking about them a lot. So seek them out if you haven't yet. And when you see them at All In, don't be surprised if they're just popping the crowd left and right. They're awesome. Just awesome.
Also announced recently, we haven't really talked about it, is they're going to broadcast All In. So you'll like the whole weekend. So
you'll be I think it's like $130.
Right. I don't know if you'd really want to. Yeah, I don't know if you'd really want to see the panels or whatever they're doing on Saturday, the autograph tables and stuff. But you might want to watch the show.
If there is a way to purchase the show separately, I think that would be cool. I hope they don't try to sucker people into having to pay $130 for the whole weekend. Because I haven't seen the ability to purchase just the show itself yet. So I'm a little skeptical, but we'll see.
Oh, man. All right. All right. That's all I got for news on my end. Do we want to go into our Impact report real quick?
I covered it last week. Okay. I have to watch this week's when we get off here tonight.
All right, so we'll return to our regularly scheduled Impact reporting next week. So then it'll be current and up to date every week. We record during the new episodes, just so everyone knows. So while the episode is going on for that Thursday, we won't be able to cover it till the next week, which is, again, that's perfectly fine because that's kind of how we do it with WWE anyway. WWE, the TV wasn't great, so let's just talk about the updated SummerSlam card as of now. We got Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. That should be good.
That main card?
Let's hope that gets on the main card. That'd
be great. Not announced yet for pre-show yet, but hopefully it'll be on the main card, yeah. I mean, it's SummerSlam, it's going to be a longer show, so as of right now, you'd think it could be.
Right.
The WWE SmackDown Women's Championship Triple Threat match, which is got quite a few people vocally upset by this. Carmella versus Becky Lynch and also Charlotte Flair came back this week and is instantly in the title picture. I love Charlotte Flair. I'm a big fan of hers. And obviously this is not her choice. Why would she say no? But I do not like her being thrown in this match. If Becky Lynch does not win and Carmella loses the title to Charlotte Flair, I'm going to be upset. So it's probably going to happen. It's disappointing.
I'm actually more interested in it now because I think Becky would just beat the hell out of Carmella, and it would be that quick of a match if there's no shenanigans. I think you now have the interesting drama between the two best friends fighting it out, and Carmella's not even in the picture. I think the title is in the picture.
Right, which is also another excuse for Becky to lose. Because now Carmella is going to escape while these two friends fight each other.
I think they're tired of that title being on her. I think this is the time to move it.
We've said that in the past about them being tired of it. I don't think that's true anymore.
And for I read on Twitter, everyone hating on Charlotte for just being thrown into this match. Charlotte was working through that ruptured implant for a long time. I mean, give the girl a damn break. She went out, had her little surgery, came back. She shouldn't. I don't think she should be thrust into the world title picture. Not again.
No, that's not her fault.
But still, people saying that's because her name is Flair. No, it's not. It's because she's one of the most talented on the roster, and it's just one way to bring her back.
That's the wrong argument to make because she's Flair and whatever.
Yeah,
but she does not. It is okay for them to be upset that she's in the title picture for sure. Also, don't direct that at Flair. It's not her call.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like we've said in the past, why would Roman Reigns say no? I don't want a title shot. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So again, the booing of Roman, and the upsetness towards Charlotte. I don't know. Where are you, anybody else want to chime in?
I don't know.
Par for the course?
It sucks that she's thrown into this title match. I mean, they've done so much with Becky from what I've seen. it just makes sense for her to go on and beat the heel and win the title. I mean,
get that good payoff. Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the point in adding Charlotte to this match other than to cost Becky the title.
Right. Or to just put a name on the card.
Like I said, I think they thought it was going to be a stink fest with Carmella not able to handle Becky. That's just my take.
Well, I think that actually Becky put Carmella to a better match than Charlotte or Asuka did, my opinion.
I agree. Most recently? Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we get what we want, and that's Becky with that title.
What would you set the chances of Carmella beating both of them at right about now?
I'm going,
because that's what I see happening. Yeah. It's like Becky and Charlotte having their own singles feud, and then Carmella going and doing something else.
Yeah, I hope we get that singles feud to be with the title included, and you know Carmella, you know, goes away from the title at least for a while, and I hope. But I could totally see her escaping because that's the heel thing to do. And I totally see it in my head. But I hope Becky wins, and then we have a Charlotte-Becky feud over the title leading to WrestleMania. That's a long time, but and I had wishful thinking. But anyway, we've got another rematch from Extreme Rules. Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship.
Why did they take that title off Rollins again?
To elevate Dolph and Drew as the new DX. I don't know. I'm having a hard time making sense of a lot of things the WWE is going, and I can't find myself defending it as much as I used to anymore. So.
Did you just come up with that with the new DX?
Yeah, on the spot, man.
Yeah, because that's not the vibe I get at all. Okay.
What are you talking about, man? He is HBK, and that is Diesel. It's like Diesel joined the DX, man.
No, not
all
even
close. All they gotta do is start crotch chopping, bro. DX is back. Attitude, baby. No,
hard pass.
Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens, another rematch, but this time, if Strowman loses in any sense, he could be DQ'd. It doesn't matter. Money in the Bank contract goes to Kevin Owens, and I actually hope that happens, because it makes no sense to be on Braun Strowman. None.
I honestly have a feeling it's going to happen.
It makes a ton of sense, which means it's not going to happen.
It's too easy to have it on Braun. You give it to somebody like Kevin Owens, it makes it entertaining now.
Yeah, so it's not going to happen. SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, Bludgeon Brothers versus TBD. Which will be decided this week, I think, between The New Day and Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yes.
The New Day, with their pancakes, did commentary. They had their own commentary table. And there is already an online petition to make The New Day the new announced team for SmackDown. People are crazy. It was fun. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it again, but an online petition, people? Come on.
I think it's just for fun, but
and then now honestly, next week, there's going to be an online petition to have me removed from the show.
The New Day guys, honestly, all three of them are so charismatic.
Yeah.
I mean, they're dripping charisma. Give them a microphone and they can carry that company, honestly. They are that charismatic.
I've gone on record and I like the New Day guys. I'm done with the New Day gimmick.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love them on Up, Up, Down, Down. I really do.
What is it called?
I'm just Up, Up, Down, Down.
There you go. You said it right.
That's what I said the first time.
It sounded like you said Up, Up, and Down, Down.
No, I did not. That's why there's a petition to get rid of you, Dave.
Well, oh,
not yet. I said by next week. It's not there yet.
Oh, I already started it.
Figures. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. Another one that could and should steal the show. But at least we're getting some great mic work by Joe right now, and it's great to have him back.
Joe is amazing.
Alexa Bliss versus Ronda Rousey for the Women's Championship, so schedule your bathroom breaks accordingly. And Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Universal Championship. You can then turn off the show before it happens. Early night for folks.
Well, they kind of, I mean, interesting swerve this week where he ditched Paul. I mean, you got to know he's leaving. Now it's done. It's over with.
Well, just watch.
I would be the first to say, thank you, God. Get him out of here.
But Tom, title. Remember, Vince loves to do what we all think he's not going to do. So if we know he's leaving and he's, you know, whatever, And the obvious choice is to take the title off of him. Vince will keep it on him.
Yeah, you're probably right. But one thing I did like about this Raw, and I watched it intermittently, I was trying not to fall asleep. I like the fact that they're kind of voicing Brock's Brock is, I'm better than everybody. With the whole, when Paul went back there, he's like, hey, did you see what happened out there? And Brock goes, what, do you think I watched this show? It's actually bringing to the forefront of how much of a dick Brock is, that he doesn't care about WWE. And I think that's, to me, that's kind of funny.
I kind of can't believe they let him say that. I mean, however true it is, I can't believe they let him say that on air.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. I'm like, well, you're bringing this to the forefront. Because when Roman did it the first time, when he came out, and it seemed, you know, it was a scripted shoot where he's calling, you know, Brock, you know, he doesn't care. He wants to sit at home with this title. I think they're bringing a lot of those feelings to the forefront that some of us believe, but we all still know it's scripted to a point, but it's still funny to me.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got for WWE stuff. I'm ready to move on. Everybody else, nothing else to say. NXT TakeOver card obviously looks way better than SummerSlam, so we'll cover that detail eventually.
Did you read the news? Did you read the recent news? I don't know if anybody saw it.
It was a spoiler.
Okay. I don't think I can spoil it.
From a taping or what?
Well, it could affect the main event for Brooklyn. So,
no,
main event already?
I don't think the main event's been announced yet.
Oh. Well, it has not been on TV, but okay, I won't talk about it then.
Congratulations to Kane for winning the mayor of Knox County election.
Yeah, where's Daniel Bryan? Is he on that card?
Not yet, but him and The Miz will be on that card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what's going on with those two currently on SmackDown. They're heating that up to pay it off, to have that quick payoff already.
Yeah, right. I guess that means he's leaving.
It seems that way. They brought up the contract in a promo by The Miz. He said, "Just leave. Let your contract run out."
I think because he brought it up, that means he's not leaving.
Could be. What is your NXT news? I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing headlines on any dirt sheet.
I read Aleister Black's been hurt, and it's not looking good.
We'll call that a rumor for now.
Are you kidding?
I'm not seeing that anywhere, so we'll call that a rumor for now, as we should have done with the Rey Mysterio signing a couple weeks ago. but keep your eyes. His status for TakeOver 4 might be in doubt.
Yeah.
So, or TakeOver Brooklyn 4, excuse me. All right, let's move on to Outside the E with John and Monroe and whoever else wants to chime in.
Excellent. So before we get started, have you guys seen any of the G1, Dave, Tom?
Sadly, no. I'm still working on being back from vacation, so I haven't caught up on a lot of stuff.
Well, you can go for another one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shh. Yeah.
It's hardly a vacation. It's an hour away.
So before we reach the finals, I'll come up with like a master list for you guys.
Nice.
So you can just like five of the most important or best matches that I think that you guys should see before we hit the finals. That way you have a general idea of what's been going on and all that stuff. So, let's get right into it. We kind of have hit the middle portion of the G1, which is usually a little bit slower. The matches aren't that great, but there still has been some amazing stuff. And actually there was a match of the year contender that I suggest everybody go out of their way to watch. Let's just talk block by block is how we'll do it. Monroe, of the last week of A-block action, we've seen some great matches from Tanahashi. I think Evil has had a good performance or two, and even Suzuki. Who has stood out to you from the A-block in particular?
Now, you know I don't know the blocks apart. But let me just speak on Tanahashi real quick. Now, I mean, you guys should know who Tanahashi is. He's like the ace or the legend of New Japan. And it's such a difference when he's in the ring compared to so many other wrestlers. It's amazing. Because when you look at, you know, other G1 matches, and not all, I'm not talking about all, but some of the G1 matches, you see two wrestlers and they just start going at it. They do the lockup, you know, ropes, they hit their moves, whatever. We know the drill. One thing about Tanahashi that sets him apart from what I've seen is that he really, really cares about storytelling in wrestling to the point where that's immediately what he goes for. I mean, this guy, if he's planning on selling his leg during a match, he's selling already on his way to the ring. Like, it's just watching him wrestle is really just, he's so old school and it's such classic wrestling 101 that is just, he's so fun to watch. And it really, I really, really like his style. And I think it's because it's so similar to older wrestlers or old school wrestlers, what we remember, you know, in whatever era you choose. But Tanahashi is really good. I mean, that's no secret. You know, yeah. He's the ace, for Christ's sake. But Tanahashi is really just one of those must-see wrestlers, in my opinion. But as far as the A block, like I said, I'm not sure who's in what block. But I do remember, like I said, that Tanahashi match against Evil that we saw in the last G1 was really good. And it was because of Tanahashi. Well, Evil is good, too, of course, but he's hurt right now. He's wrestling injured, which I hate. That sucks. But
yeah,
Tanahashi is so good. And that match was really good. I'm not sure who else is in that block. I know, what's his name? Makabe has actually been very, very decent this whole time.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah, I think he needs some recognition for that. I mean, he's an older wrestler himself, but he's really, really stepped it up in this tournament. He's been really good. Better than a lot of people. And I will say who's been the most disappointing, and that's Jay White. I knew from the get-go, I mean, I've been a Jay White fan for a while now. I've never once said that he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, because that would be incorrect. He's not one of the best wrestlers in the world. I'm going to put it out there. He's really good, but he's not really great. He works well when he's against someone that's awesome. So, I mean, Jay White Tanahashi, Jay White Okada, that's going to be amazing. But when you have, like, Jay White Yoshihashi, and it's like, okay, what are we watching here? And I think not just his performances in the ring that have been somewhat lacking, in my opinion, but also his booking with the whole ref bump every match type. I don't know what's going on with that. That's not what I envisioned the Switchblade character to be. And maybe that's my fault for thinking, oh, they should do what I'm thinking. How dare they not do what's in my mind? I mean, that could be my fault for doing that. But at the same time, I mean, I just don't like what they're doing with this character. To me, in my opinion, it does not fit a Switchblade character. When you think Switchblade and this guy carrying a knife and tearing up, cutting up shit everywhere, you would think he'd be crazy and, you know, sanity type person and just losing his mind, but it's not that. And instead, it's this guy who smiles here and there and cheats to win. I don't like it. So.
Yeah, he's more cerebral. I think he's trying to be more of like a thinking man's wrestler, kind of like outsmarting everyone type. And you know, for a young wrestler, that's going to be hard to pull off because he just doesn't have the, you know, the credibility yet to sure. be that guy. And so when you keep running these ref bumps, like I said last week, unfortunately, it comes off as repetitive.
Yeah.
And it also, like, he was doing, we're getting ref bumps in a match against Yoshihashi. Like, Yoshihashi hasn't beat freaking anybody. So if you're a good enough wrestler, you should be able to handle Yoshihashi. And he's having to, you know, I mean, I get it. He's a heel. I get it. But right. There's other ways to go about conveying that don't involve a ref bump in every match. And Jay White actually doesn't do such a bad job outside of the ref bumps. It's just the repetitiveness of the ref bumps takes away from him instead of adding, like it would if he had done it, you know, more sparingly throughout.
Sure.
But I think, yeah, Tanahashi for sure has been the standout from the A block. The match with Suzuki on night one, mm-hmm. and then the match with Evil were the two best matches from the A block thus far. And Tanahashi might actually be on his way to the final. We'll see. He's got the big match with Okada coming up next week, and a couple big matches coming up over the next week, too, leading up to that. That's kind of going to decide his fate. But as we stand right now, there's only three people left who can actually win the A block, and that is Tanahashi, who's in first place with 12 points, and then coming in second place are Jay White and Kazuchika Okada, both with 10 points. Everybody else is out and pretty much playing spoiler. At least the only person who can play spoiler at this point, I guess, would be Evil, because he's got Jay White, and Jay White's
Jay White's one of the only guys who can actually win this thing. So, and Tanahashi and Okada have each other. So,
yeah,
the A block is down to three. And next week is going to be kind of interesting to see how they keep those matches interesting, because now with most of the field out of it, those matches are going to be kind of pointless. But that does end up happening at the end of a tournament like this. So, A block matches going forward. We only have, I believe, one night of A block left. And that is Okada versus Evil coming up on the 5th of August. And then we will have the Okada and Tanahashi main event on the, what is it, the 10th, I believe? Is it the 10th, 11th, and 12th?
I think it's the 10th. I think it's the... Yeah, you know, that's right. That's right. 10th, 11th, and 12th. 12th.
Yeah, so the A block final will be on the 10th.
Yeah.
Some other notable matchups. Tanahashi will be taking on Michael Elgin. So, of course, Michael Elgin, if he could get a big win here, could set Tanahashi back. And likewise with Evil. Evil could actually knock Okada out if he has a victory like he did last year in the main event. Jay White taking on Togi Makabe. I think White will probably win and keep himself in contention. Mm-hmm. So that's the A block thus far. But I think... What would you say, Monroe? Pretty much hands down, the B block has been the more interesting and more the block that's delivered more in the ring.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that there's one match in particular we really need to talk about, and that is Tomohiro Ishii versus Kota Ibushi. I'm sure you guys saw, well, I don't know if you follow me, you probably saw me losing my mind about this match. It was probably one of my favorite matches of the entire year, and I think it was one of the best matches of the entire year. There was probably a little bit of favoritism that went into that on my end, but just the way the style of this match to me is so much better than a lot of the New Japan main event style. Some of the strike exchanges, with which I get if people don't like that, if they feel it becomes repetitive. But for me, that's what being in a fight is all about. And I love the fighting spirit. And Tomohiro Ishii is such an artist in the ring. The way he knows how to sell and when to sell and when to not sell, too. And really pop the crowd and get people more and more invested in the match. What he does with his character to come across as intimidating and actually, like, you know, then when the his opponent is able to conquer him, it's more emphatic, and it's just, you just really feel it. I don't know. I really like what he does in the ring. He's got to be in the hunt for the MVP of the tournament thus far. What'd you think of that match in particular?
Well, I don't know if you guys knew, but Tomohiro Ishii is my uncle, and I do claim him and love him. He's one of my favorites. Yeah, I mean, I talk about Ishii all the time, talking about how great he is. I mean, we already know how great Kota Ibushi is. We don't even need to talk about him. But Ishii is so good. And I think every year, not just in his tournament, but throughout the year, period, he constantly proves just how good he is. He's dependable. You can almost always guarantee a good match from this guy. And this match was no exception. It was really, really good. I'm not really one of those people who complains about the strike exchanges or whatever, but they're not my favorite thing if they happen over and over again. As long as it helps the story of the match. If it's telling the story of a match, then I'm okay with it. And I feel like the strike exchanges in this match definitely helped tell a story. And man, what an awesome story it was. Ishii and Ibushi going toe-to-toe, head-to-head, see who's more of a badass. Oh, I mean, what more can you ask for? It was awesome.
So another notable matchup from this week was Kenny Omega versus Zack Sabre Jr. And I think we could probably go on about how Kenny Omega just isn't connecting for us in the ring. And I say us because we watch it together, so we kind of already know how each other are feeling about these guys. But, like, for me personally, Kenny Omega, he's like a different guy in every match, and it's so hard because I just got through complaining about how Jay White's doing the same thing in every match, and now I'm complaining about how Omega is like a different person in every match. There's got to be a happy medium somewhere where you're the same, you kind of have the same character in every match, but it's not like you're doing the same things.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a little too much, but for me, Kenny Omega just hasn't been doing this, and this title run has been disappointing. I really thought this match with Zack Sabre Jr. was going to steal the show, and it didn't follow through. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was still a good match, but it was just okay. It wasn't like blow away as you expect. Excuse me. It was just an okay match. It was, and again, you know, back with the Kenny Omega thing, I'm not taking anything from Kenny. He is athletic and super talented. It's just I wish he would pick a lane. You know, I don't know which Kenny Omega I'm watching until the match starts. He can be heel one day, face one day. He's I don't know, heartbroken one day, in love the next day, mad at the world the second day, and it's like, who are you, sir? But that's like my main issue with him. It's hard to keep track of who he's going to be. But as far as that match goes, like I said, the match was fine. It just wasn't as good as we expected it to be.
Yep. And Kenny Omega is still undefeated with 12 points. He is in the lead still for the B block. And just like the A block, there's only three wrestlers still in contention: Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, and Tetsuya Naito. So your G1 final is going to be one of the A block three versus one of the B block three. And I think you could pretty much draw any two names out of a hat, and you'd probably have a pretty damn good final. Mm-hmm. Some matchups to look forward to this next week for the B block. I mean, in Osaka, Tetsuya Naito versus Kota Ibushi, Tomohiro Ishii versus Kenny Omega, Juice Robinson, Zack Sabre Jr., and that's all on the same show coming up on the 4th. So that's probably going to be one of the most talked nights about the tournament thus far. So definitely look forward to that one. And then on, what is this, the 8th, we've got Tetsuya Naito versus Sonata, which is a really interesting matchup, two stablemates. And also Hirooki Goto versus Zack Sabre Jr., and Juice Robinson versus Tomohiro Ishii. So the matchups are really going to start picking up, and then we're going to hit the finals next weekend. So we'll reconvene here on Thursday and make our picks for the A block, the B block, and the final, and then hopefully enjoy the shows. So, yeah, that's about it. Only other thing I can say is keep your eye on CMLL. They've got a huge main event coming up next Friday. Or tomorrow, I should say, not next Friday.
Today, if we're doing podcast time today. Traveling.
Yeah, podcast, right. Going into the future. And they have a huge house already for that one, so that's going to be a great show. Flamita Bandido and Rey Fénix all on Triple A tonight. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff going on in Lucha. I've really been into that stuff lately. So hopefully I'll be able to go into depth a little more with that in the future. But for right now, just kind of getting into it. So.
You guys are diving into a lot of pools, so we won't hold it against you.
Yeah.
Also, really quickly, too, I don't know if you guys have any downtime or, you know, if you want to play something in the background while you're working. MLW have their shows on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually kind of worthwhile. So whenever you feel like watching some wrestling but not what you mainly watch, check out MLW on YouTube. You won't regret it. We watched one show not too long ago where they had a Battle Riot, which was a 40-man Battle Royal. And honestly, it was super fun. I am a huge fan of Battle Royals anyway, and it was the Royal Rumble style too. I mean, come on, let's go.
It was actually pretty cool. Yeah,
yeah, and they had a lot of people. Blue Meanie was in it.
Wow.
What's the guy's name, the Taskmaster? What's his name?
Kevin Sullivan
was
Kevin
in it.
Like, Sullivan what? Was there?
Kevin Sullivan came out.
Oh, my God.
And it's still on YouTube if you guys want to go check it out. I mean, you can just skip forward and, you know, watch just the Battle Royale. But MLW, check it out. They're actually doing great things.
Cool. Yeah, and Brian Pillman's son is debuting
there.
Yeah,
I saw that. I did see that.
So that's pretty cool, too.
That is really cool. And it's free on YouTube. I mean, come on.
There you go.
And it's great production, great quality. Yeah, check
it out. Free 99, people.
Yeah, free 99 is right. And there should be some good Stardom stuff coming up, too. I don't know when it's going to be released. For some reason, the only thing I can complain about with Stardom is their streaming platform is terrible.
Yes.
They don't live stream, and they don't upload stuff as it happens, which for me, it's like, come on, I want to see these matches.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? But aside from that, yeah, we should have some great Stardom wrestling coming up, too.
Cool.
So.
All right. That's going to do it for our show this week. We'll be back next week, of course, to sum up, again, the week in the G1 and some of these cards that they just talked about with CMLL and other things. And of course, Tom will have his Impact report ready to go.
And absolutely,
we'll be one more week closer to the summer extravaganza that is SummerSlam and Bash at the Beach. Oh wait, that doesn't happen anymore. All right.
Unfortunately.
All right, we'll be back next week. You can find us on Twitter and all the social medias at Ringside Geeks. But if you want to talk to us individually, John, you are on the Twitter machine.
I am at xjohnneve.
Monroe.
I am on Twitter at eofthes_ent. Also a YouTube page, I of the Storm Entertainment.
Very cool. And Tom?
I am at skids_world on the Twitter machine.
Where he is lamenting the loss of his Ohio State football coach.
He's not gone. Let it go.
He will be. He will be.
We'll still win.
The team will still be.
You won't go that far.
I can coach this team from home. Let's go.
All right. Roll Tide. On Wisconsin.
Roll Tide.
I got to get one in every episode now. All right. It's a contract. We'll be back next week. Everybody, have a good week. Remember to be good to each other. We're all wrestling fans. We all love this wacky form of sports and entertainment. Let's have fun when we talk about it, huh? Come on. All right.
Amen.
We'll be back next week. Say goodbye.
See ya.
Goodbye. Bye.